verse of that hymn says that the love of the Lord Jesus that he demonstrated for us upon the cross demands my soul, my life, my all. That's really what we were talking about this morning as well, that if we want to be rich in eternity, we should live wholeheartedly for the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength devoted to him. Really, tonight's message kind of adds to that, kind of develops that idea a little bit in a very practical direction. I'd like you to take your Bible tonight and turn, please, to Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6. The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom, and it is full of very practical, godly wisdom for life. And as you know, over recent months, we have been studying various themes that are found in the book of Proverbs, studying it thematically. And so tonight, we're going to start into a new study, a new theme of Proverbs. So far, we've taken some time to talk about the tongue, what Proverbs has to say about the tongue. And then we just finished up a series on the path of God's will. And now I would like us to focus in on what the book of Proverbs has to say about our approach to work and to personal responsibility. And really, when those two, when we consider our approach to work or personal responsibility, there are basically two options that we can take. Okay, we can either be lazy or we can be diligent. And those two approaches lead to two possible outcomes, don't they? I mean, generally, if we are lazy in our approach to work and personal responsibilities, that laziness will lead to failure. But on the other hand, diligence in our approach to work and personal responsibility will lead us generally to success. And so the question I want to ask you tonight, and this is really the title of this whole new series, Themes and Proverbs, that we're studying together, is it going to be slothful or successful for you? Which of those two choices are you going to make? The word sloth, slothful, that word comes from a word in the Middle English that means slow, okay? Sloth means slow. Synonyms for slothful would be idle or indolent, shiftless or lazy. And in case you're wondering, the sin of sloth or slothfulness was not named after the animal, the sloth. But actually, the animal sloth was named after the sin of sloth. And the reason why is because sloths, the animals, are famous for moving very slowly, and they move only when absolutely necessary. This is the way God made them. It's a way that they conserve bodily energy. But understand that a sloth typically moves at a speed of 10 feet per minute. 10 feet per minute. Now, you think about that. That's pretty slow, okay? I didn't say 10 feet per second, but per minute. And actually, the sloth can accelerate to a top speed of 15 feet per minute. That's in an absolute emergency. That sloth is really moving out at a speed of 15 feet per minute. But really, the animal sloth is a great illustration of what it means to be slothful as a person. Because to be slothful as a person means to be slow. It means not moving very much, hard to get moving, and working as little as possible. So on one level here, this study is really an issue about practical wisdom, the very practical wisdom that we need for life. My friend, if you want to make something of yourself in life, if you want to be successful, then you cannot be slothful. So there's an issue here of very practical wisdom. We're going to be exploring that. But then on another level, there's also a spiritual issue, because lazy tendencies originate from our sinful flesh, that part of us that is prone to be sinful. The flesh wants to be made comfortable. The number one goal of the flesh is to feel good. It does not like to be disturbed, and it always likes the path of least resistance. It wants to be comfy. It wants to be cozy. And of course, we understand that the body needs rest, and the body needs sleep. Those are legitimate needs of the body, but taken to an extreme, indulging our desire for sleep or for relaxation becomes a sin. It is a sin. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." And one of those fleshly lusts is the fleshly desire for excessive ease or sleep. That fleshly lust will wage war against our souls. It will take us down spiritually. It will keep us from getting up early enough in the morning, for example, to spend quality time with God in the Word and in prayer. That desire for excessive ease or rest will keep us from getting up and serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It will keep us from coming to prayer meeting, perhaps. It'll keep us from maximizing our times and our lives for the glory of God in any host of a number of ways. And so we should not cultivate that fleshly lust. We should abstain from it, as the Bible says here. That means we should say no to laziness. And this is one of the ways that believers are supposed to bring their bodies into subjection so that we can be effective servants of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." In the context of that passage, the Apostle Paul compares himself as a servant of Jesus Christ to a runner or maybe a boxer or a wrestler, striving for the victory, and he says that just as an athlete has to exercise self-control and he can't indulge every fleshly appetite if he wants to be in shape, if he wants to win the victory, in the same way that an athlete cannot indulge the flesh, if he wants to strive for the victory, neither can a servant of Jesus Christ. If we're going to be successful in our service for Christ, we cannot allow our bodies to tell us what we're going to do, but rather we need to tell our bodies what we are going to do. And so making that specific application here to slothfulness, folks, we cannot allow our love for ease and sleep to run our lives. We have to bring those desires, those fleshly desires, into submission. God does not want us to be slothful servants. He wants us to be successful servants in any sphere of service that He has entrusted to our care. In Romans chapter 12, verse 11, we read the will of God for His people, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. It is not God's will for His people to be slothful in their business, whether that's earthly business or whether that is heavenly business, but rather He wants us to be fervent. He wants us to be zealous in our business. And you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is going to hold us accountable for our approach, whether we were slothful or whether we were diligent or fervent in the business that He gave us to do. We read about that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 26, the parable of the talents. That servant that did nothing with the talent that the master had entrusted into his care. He went out and buried it in the ground. He did nothing. He had nothing to show when the master returned. And the Bible says, "The Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gathered where I have not strawed. And so that servant who buried his talent in the ground was rebuked for being wicked and slothful." His inactivity for the master brought about rebuke and loss of rewards. I think it's pretty safe to say that none of us wants to be called a wicked, slothful servant at the Bema Seat of Christ. None of us wants to hear those words from the Lord Jesus, "Thou slothful servant," right? No. We want to hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But if we're going to be faithful, we can't be slothful. So as you can probably tell already, just here in the introduction, this very practical study where we're going to be contrasting laziness and diligence in the book of Proverbs is going to be a rather convicting study. I've been convicted already myself as I've been preparing this study. I think it's also going to be a very much needed study for us. So which is it going to be for you, Christian? You think about this as we get started into this study tonight. Is it going to be slothful or successful? Will you emulate the slowness of the sloth in your approach to your duties and responsibilities, or will you demonstrate diligence and reap the rewards? Tonight, as we get started here, we're going to start into what the book of Proverbs has to say about the sin of slothfulness, and then later on we'll get to diligence. So for tonight, we want to take a look, first of all, at the sorry symptoms of the sluggard. The sorry symptoms of the sluggard. And we're going to look at Proverbs 6 here in just a moment. First of all, let me explain. What is a sluggard? A sluggard is a good Bible word for a slothful person. It sounds a lot like the word slug, doesn't it? A slug is basically like a snail without a shell. That's another very slow-moving creature. I don't see a lot of slugs. Every now and then you see one, you know, it lays down that mucus trail so it can kind of slide along very slowly. But we do have grubs. We have grubs around our house. They're not slugs, but they're kind of like them, you know. And it's amazing to me sometimes, you know, after a heavy rain or something, I mean, these grubs will, they'll come up out of the ground. I don't know where they're coming from, but they'll get up onto the driveway of our house, and it's like they're all racing to get into my garage. But they're, you know, racing, okay? I mean, they're slow, okay? But surely, steadily, they're really, you know, trucking from my garage until they get run over by the car tire, and then they make that big splat on the pavement, and I'm, you know, sweeping them out all the time. But, you know, they don't move very fast, and neither does the sluggard, the slothful man. Sluggard means a sluggish, lazy person. That's what it's talking about. And this is not a complimentary term in the least. And as a matter of fact, the biblical portrait of the sluggard is not a complimentary portrait in the least. It is a very sorry, in the sense of sad. It is a very sorry or sad portrait. It is a pathetic picture painted in the Word of God of the sluggard. And so as we look at the picture of the sluggard tonight in God's Word, I want to encourage you, see whether this sad portrait of the sluggard looks at all like you. Let's ask the Lord tonight to show us all any resemblance that we bear to the sluggard in our actions or in our attitudes. So let's read about the sluggard here in Proverbs chapter number 6. And let's read verses 6 through 11. Starting in verse 6, we read, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." From that passage, I think we see five symptoms of the sluggard. And these are going to be our outline for tonight's message. Five symptoms of the sluggard. First of all, lack of initiative. Second, lateness in discharging duties. Number three, love of sleep. Number four, lots of excuses. And finally, a loathing for work. Let's delve into that just a little bit. And let's consider, first of all, the sorry symptoms of the sluggard, a lack of initiative. Go back to verse number 6. Look at what it says again. The writer of Proverbs says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard." This is a very strong exhortation that is directed at the sluggard. And the writer of Proverbs speaks very sternly to the sluggard. And he says, you need to go to the ant. What does that mean? That means consider the ant. You check out the ant. You need to watch and learn from the tiny ant because the ant doesn't have to be told to go out and gather food. Now, she doesn't need a boss or a supervisor or somebody directing her, telling her what to do and when. She just does what she is supposed to do when she is supposed to do it. She does it of her own initiative. She is a self-starter, and she takes care of her business in a timely manner. But not so the sluggard. Now, in contrast to the ant, the sluggard demonstrates a serious lack of initiative in his approach to his responsibilities, whatever they may be. He needs a boss to tell him that it's time to get busy. He is not a self-starter. He has to be kick-started by other people, and he does not take care of his business in a timely manner either. And so the sluggard really is put to shame by the diligence of the ant. And it's really kind of hard to believe, isn't it, that such a tiny insect with such a tiny little brain could show more initiative than a human being and outwork, pound for pound, a human being. But it's true. And so the sluggard really needs to take notice of the diligence of the ant, so he can follow her good example, because the first characteristic of the sluggard is a lack of initiative. Take a look at Proverbs 12:27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting, but the substance of a diligent man is precious. There's another unflattering description of the slothful person, of the sluggard. I mean, if he actually arouses himself sufficiently to do something like to go out hunting, and he goes out and he kills an animal for food, maybe a deer, during deer season, or he goes out and he hunts, he kills an animal, then he leaves it to rot in the field. That's the picture that we have here in this verse. If he actually gets up and he bestirs himself to do a job, he doesn't finish it. He allows the entire effort to go to waste. I'm going to borrow a concept from science. We could say that the sluggard, the slothful person, has a problem with inertia. You know what inertia is? Let me give you a definition. Inertia is the tendency of a body at rest to remain at rest, or of a body in motion to stay in motion in a straight line unless disturbed by an external force. Now, first part of that definition sounds a lot like the sluggard lying about in the house, okay? The tendency of a body at rest to remain at rest. That's the sluggard. He is comfortable, and he is tired, and he is resting, and he wants more sleep, and therefore, why should he get up? Folks, fleshly inertia is the tendency of that body at rest to remain at rest in that prone position when we should be up and tending to our responsibilities. All right, so let me just ask you here by way of application, what other people say, that you demonstrate a lack of initiative in your approach to your responsibilities? Do you have a problem with fleshly inertia? Are you slow to get moving on the job and slow to finish what you start? What other people characterize you as, a self-starter or somebody that has to be kick-started? Are you known for leaving projects half done, wasting time and resources due to a lack of follow-through? Folks, that is our flesh running the show. That is the first characteristic of the sluggard, a lack of initiative. But then secondly, there is also a lateness in discharging duties. Take another look at verse number 8. Look at what it says. The ant provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And so another thing that we need to notice about the diligent example of the ant is that she is not a procrastinator. She gets her work done in the proper time frame. And she goes out and she gathers her food in the warm time of the year when it is available, so that she does not starve in the wintertime. But the sluggard waits too long in tending to his responsibilities, and he therefore goes without. He is typically running late, or he is running behind, and therefore he cannot be trusted to follow through with his assigned duties. Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 26 says, "As vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him." Another unflattering description of the sluggard. He's always getting around to something, but he never actually does it. And so he's not a person in whom you can put much confidence. You certainly don't want to entrust an important mission or message to the sluggard, because he's not going to get the job done. The Bible says here that trying to get profitable work out of the sluggard is like drinking vinegar or getting the smoke of a campfire in your eyes. Those are not very pleasant experiences. I don't know if you ever tried to drink vinegar before, but stuff doesn't taste very good going down. One time I had a doctor, you know, was telling me about the virtues of a little tablespoon of apple cider vinegar for the digestion. So I thought I would try that. And so I mixed it with water, you know, like he told me to do, or I read about it or whatever. And I took that stuff down, and wow, it's like fire going down my throat. Did it once or twice. I decided it was causing me more problems than anything, so forget that. Vinegar to the teeth. That's not a pleasant experience. Smoke to the eyes. You know, you gather around the bonfire and suddenly the wind shifts and the smoke is blowing in your face. Oh, ow. It's not very fun. Get me around to the other side of the fire. In the same way, it is just not a pleasant experience to try to get profitable work out of this person. I had a boss back when my first teaching job, my principal. He had this saying about teenagers. He said, "It takes two adults to work one teenager." And you know what? That's not true of all teenagers, because I've seen some teenagers that could work circles around some adults. But it is true of some teenagers, and it's true of some adults as well. It takes two people managing them to get them to do the work of one person. In the same way, it's just frustrating. That's what this verse is really saying. It's frustrating to have to count on the sluggard for anything, because the sluggard's not going to get the job done on time. If he gets it done at all, it would just be far better to do the job yourself than to try to get the sluggard to do the work. So let me ask you, how about you? Let's make a few more applications here. Are you constantly running late to important events or in meeting your commitments? Do other people have to stand over you constantly to make sure that you get the job done? Other people always having to come behind you to pick up the pieces of what you left undone? You know, finishing up, tidying up your work? Do people wish that they had done the job themselves rather than getting you involved? Can you be trusted to work on task and to finish a job in a timely manner? If you're having trouble in any of these areas, these are some of the symptoms of the sluggard. And of course, folks, I understand that we're all going to run late from time to time for reasons beyond our control. I understand that. I'm late occasionally as well. But I also think when you need to come to grips with the fact that a habit of running late is a symptom of slothfulness. Because in most cases, there's simply no reason why we have to be late. There really isn't. Except that we wanted to sleep in, we wanted to enjoy other activities until the last possible moment, maybe because we weren't diligently managing our time. Let me just make an application here. If I could, just a specific application. Let's take Sunday morning, for example. You know, there's no real reason why we need to be late for Sunday school on Sunday mornings. Sunday school starts at 9:45. That's not an early hour by any means. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, if we can straggle in at 9:50 or 9:55, probably the vast majority of us could be here on time in our places by 9:45. Certainly no real reason why we should be late for our responsibilities on Sunday morning, whether that's the responsibility of being a Sunday school teacher or maybe a greeter or a security team member or a nursery worker, or on Sunday afternoons, a choir member to choir practice. I mean, there's really no real reason why we need to be late, except that it was more important to us to sleep in or to relax and take it easy on Sunday morning, or maybe get a longer nap on Sunday afternoon. It was more important to us to do those things than it was to be on time. I mean, it's not really that we couldn't be on time. It's most of the time that we just wouldn't be on time. And the truth is that the work of God does suffer when people are not in their places when they're supposed to be there. There's been times in the past where we've had visitors come and really be turned off and turned away, I think, from our Sunday school and classes because nobody was there. Nobody was in the class. You know, it's a bad testimony when the visitors arrive before the church members for Sunday school. It's a bad testimony when the students arrive before the teacher. Really. And so I know I'm making a kind of a pointed application here, but I mean, this is, you know, let's just bring it right down to where the rubber meets the road. And we all have our applications where this is an issue that we need to apply the Word of God to our own lives, okay? But may it not be, folks, that we were like vinegar in the teeth and smoke in the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I mean, the one who gave us a job to do, the one who sent us, the one who gave us something to do in His name, may it not be that we were not faithful, that He could not count on us to be a faithful messenger and to get the job done and to get it done in a timely manner and to be prompt and diligent and in our places when we're supposed to be there. Being in the habit of running late to our assigned duties is a character issue. It's rooted in the weakness of our flesh. And before we can address a problem or overcome a problem, we do have to admit that we have the problem. So, secondly, lateness in discharging duties is a symptom of the sluggard. Number three, love of sleep. Would you look at verse number 9, please? Verse number 9 says, "How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep?" Love of sleep. That verse pictures the sluggard lying comfortably in bed. And here's the key thing. When he should be up and doing, okay? Past the time when he should be in bed. And so here God speaks very directly to the sluggard and He says, "Aren't you up yet? How long do you plan to stay in bed?" That reminds me of some conversations that I've had with my family members over the years. Some conversations that my wife has had with me as well. "How long are you going to stay in bed?" I'm not going to name any names, but some members of my family do really love to sleep in. They're hard to pry out of bed in the morning. Sometimes I have to go back multiple times and say, "What? You're still not out of bed yet?" The fact of the matter is that some of us do pride ourselves on our ability to sleep in. I really can't sleep in very late anymore. It seems like if I'm, you know, in bed past 7:30, that's really late for me. Used to be I could sleep in really late, but not so much anymore. But we do pride ourselves on that, and it's not always a sin to sleep in. Sometimes you do have to catch up on your rest, and you need extra sleep, and that's important. But we don't want to be sleeping the day away as a matter of habit. That really is a problem in our society today. And many people, they stay up way too late and then they sleep in way too late. And that is an issue. That's an issue of slothfulness and indulging the flesh. And as believers, we don't want to imitate those patterns. And I am a morning, I'm not a morning person myself, okay? So it's easier for me to stay up at night than it is to get up in the morning. But we don't want to be sleeping the day away. You know, lots of people are doing that. That's one reason why we go out knocking on doors on Saturday mornings. It's like we don't find anybody answering the door until after 10:30 in the morning. One major reason is because most people are still in bed, I guess, up to that late or later. But the love of sleep should not be calling the shots in our lives. That should not be our primary motivator here. We should not be slaves to our desire to sleep. We should be wise stewards of sleep. And we do need sleep, but it's something that we steward, and we want to be wise stewardship, wise in our stewardship of that, so that we can be diligent to the glory of God and redeem the time as the Lord Jesus has commanded us to do. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 14, another picture, a very sorry picture of the sluggard. It says, as the door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. He's constantly rolling over in his bed, time and time again, like a door turning on its hinges. All right, so the alarm clock goes off, and he thinks to himself, just 5 more minutes, and he hits the snooze. You know what I'm talking about, right? And he rolls over, and he goes back to sleep, and then he repeats that several times. More than one time in my own life when I've been tempted to hit that snooze button multiple times, I've remembered this verse and been convicted by it. The slothful man rolls over on his bed like a door turning on its hinges. Love of sleep. Number 4, going right along with that is lots of excuses. Take a look at verse number 10 again. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. I think in that verse we hear the response of the sluggard to the attempts of people to get him up out of bed and to rouse him to profitable activity. He says, I just need a little more sleep. I mean, just let me sleep. Just go away. I don't want to get up yet. Just give me a few more minutes. Again, does that sound familiar? Our flesh is very good at coming up with all kinds of reasons why it should not be disturbed. And the flesh will find any excuse to be lazy if we'll let it, if we'll indulge our flesh. We can come up with all kinds of rationalizations and excuses why we shouldn't have to work hard. We read that in, for example, Proverbs 22:13 describes that characteristic of the slothful man. He saith, there is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. So the situation here, I guess, is that the slothful man is supposed to be going out to work, supposed to leave the house, go out, earn his living by the sweat of his brow, but he says, you know what? I can't go out today. I can't do my job today because it's dangerous out there. I mean, I heard on the news a lion escaped from the zoo, and you never know. That lion might be out there somewhere. It might find me. It might eat me. And so it's way too risky to go to work today. I just better call in sick. Yeah. That's another ridiculous and very unflattering description of the resourcefulness of the sluggard to find any possible reason not to do what he should be doing. All right, so does that description fit you? Are you an excuse maker or are you a hard worker? Are you known for your resourcefulness and making up reasons why you shouldn't have to do what you've been assigned to do? Or do you see to your responsibilities with a very cheerful and willing attitude? Are you ridiculous in your attempts to avoid work? Or are you reliable in your diligence to get work done? If you want to amount to something in life, believer, then get out of the habit of making excuses. Because there's nothing that your boss or your employer or your supervisor or the owner of the business where you work, there's nothing that those people will enjoy hearing less than all the reasons why you can't be on time and why you can't do the job that you've been given or why you can't do the job right. those people really are not going to want to hear all your excuses about why you can't do the work. Having lots of excuses will put you on the fast track to lots of unemployment and wasted opportunities. And it will make you an unreliable servant of Jesus Christ. And again, oftentimes this is a character issue. This is something perhaps we don't really see it in ourselves the way we need to see it. And so sometimes we have to have other people tell us about the problem, or maybe we can see the problem in the mirror of God's Word. We need to stop telling people why it can't be done, and we just need to get it done. Lots of excuses is the fourth characteristic. And then finally, number five is a loathing for work. Would you look at verse number 11? Verse number 11, "So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." A loathing for work. The point here is that the sluggard would rather be poor and lazy than well provided for and diligent. He doesn't really care. That's a sorry state of affairs, isn't it? Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25 says, "The desire of the slothful killeth him, for his hands refuse to labor." Oh, sure, he would love to have stuff. He would love to be successful. But he is killing himself because he is not working to better himself or to take care of his own needs. He won't put actions to his desires. He will not follow through. And it's great to have dreams. It's great to have goals. But what are you doing to accomplish the goals that you have? I think I've told you this story before, but I had a young man in my English class many years ago who was flunking my class because he wasn't doing the work, okay? He just wouldn't do the work. And finally, I decided it was time for him and me to have a heart-to-heart. So I pulled him out in the hall, and I said to him, where do you want to be in 5 years? I mean, just imagine your life. Where do you want to be? What do you want to do? He said, "I want to be the big boss, the guy who's sitting behind the desk with his feet up telling everybody else what to do." I said, "That's great. That's great, but if you want to do that, you better start by passing English class. You better get some work done." Actually, he does run his own business today, and he's very successful. I hope he got the message, but anyway, the slothful man refuses to labor, and in so doing, he hurts himself. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 24 says, "A slothful man hideth his hand in his bosom and will not so much as bring it to his mouth again." The idea is he won't even make the effort to feed himself because it's too much work for him even to lift his hand up to his mouth. That's pretty sad, isn't it? It's pretty sorry. Folks, if allowed to go unchecked, the slothful tendencies of our flesh will become self-destructive. And as our culture degenerates, as our society degenerates, it becomes more and more depraved, family units break down, all of that, we see more and more sad examples of what this verse is illustrating, what it's talking about right here. Okay, we see people living in houses that are just falling down around their heads. And they're living in filthy conditions that are unfit for habitation. And yes, I know sometimes people don't have much choice and they can barely keep shelter over their heads. I understand all that, but the truth is that many times the reason that people are living in those conditions is because they will not lift a finger to better themselves. And I've been into homes and I've seen this where people would rather sit around on a sofa all day long smoking a cigarette and watching soap operas than they would get up and clean their house. Okay, they would rather allow their house just to fall down than go outside and slap a coat of paint on some wood before it rots. People would rather be unemployed than rouse themselves to go to work. They would rather sleep all day long than bestir themselves, even to care for themselves or their loved ones, their family members. That is a tragic state of affairs, folks. That is an indication of the degeneracy of the society in which we are living in. But what may be true of people of this world, folks, should not be true of servants of Jesus Christ. Because we have a new nature. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. And God's Holy Spirit is not a lazy spirit. He is a zealous spirit. He is a fiery spirit. And he sets people on fire with a flame of zeal. And his purpose, as we read in the scripture in the book of Titus, his purpose is to make us a people who are zealous of good works. Did you hear that last word? Works. Okay, living for Jesus Christ is going to involve a lot of hard work. And the Bible tells us in passage after passage that we need to approach the Christian life as a work to be done. As a matter of fact, let me just show you here some words for willing workers for Jesus Christ that we see in the Scripture, in the New Testament. The Bible says that as believers, we are God's servants, His bond slaves. We are His ministers, waiting on His orders, His instructions. We're His soldiers. We're supposed to be down in the trenches for Him. We are His husbandmen. We're laboring by the sweat of our brow out in His harvest field in the heat of the day. We are His ambassadors. We're not here just to represent ourselves. We're here to represent the King of Kings. We are His stewards. We are managing His property, and we're going to give an account to Him. We are His athletes. We are in that race, and we're supposed to be straining toward the mark with every ounce of effort. We are His wrestlers. We are to be striving, agonizing for the victory, agonizing over people in prayer. We are His builders as well, and we are to be wise master builders, building not wood, hay, and stubble, but gold and silver and precious stones upon the foundation of Jesus Christ. So what I want to end with tonight here is this thought. While basic slothfulness is a sin, and it's something that we all need to work on, the worst kind of slothfulness is spiritual slothfulness. I would define spiritual slothfulness as not tending to our basic responsibilities as servants of Jesus Christ. I mean, it's one thing not to get out of bed in time to brush your teeth. It's another thing not to get out of bed to serve the Lord. Being lazy and unreliable and full of excuses about spending time with God. I talk to a lot of believers and I've heard all kinds of excuses about why I don't have time to have good devotions every day. I mean, I've heard the full gamut of possible excuses about that issue. Making excuses and lazy and being unreliable about speaking to people about God, sharing our faith, being a witness for Jesus Christ, opening our mouths, bringing a testimony to people of the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, we all have made excuses about that, haven't we? Why we don't need to do what God has told us to do, making excuses and being unreliable about serving the Lord, taking care of those ministries that He has entrusted to us, those opportunities for service in the local church, those opportunities, making and prioritizing time to be busy about the Master's business instead of just about our own desires and our own business. Folks, even more than ordinary sloth, spiritual slothfulness may be a matter of life and death for somebody. So it really matters if we're slothful in our service for Christ. And what you see in the Bible is a description of a servant of Jesus Christ is of a willing worker. Not somebody who avoids work for Christ at all costs, but somebody who's reliable, somebody who's on the front lines, in the trenches, faithful, that you can count on, that the Lord can count on to get the job done. So we need to be punctual and consistent and trustworthy and diligent and self-starting and faithful in our work for the Lord, redeeming the time. Are you up and doing for Christ? Or are you lying around lazy in the flesh? Here are the sorry symptoms of the sluggard again. Let's take a look at them one more time. Lack of initiative, lateness in discharging duties, love of sleep, lots of excuses, and a loathing for work. Yeah, that's not a very flattering portrait in the book of Proverbs, is it? Did you see yourself in the portrait? Did the picture frame turn out to be a mirror? Is your flesh running your life more than you realized and more than you maybe care to admit? Believer, tonight, if you've seen a problem in the mirror of God's Word, some of the sad symptoms of the sluggard on display in your life, what are you going to do about it? I want to encourage you not to make excuses. That's the flesh talking again. But admit the problem. Repent of the sin of sloth, because it is a sin. We need to repent of it humbly so that we can access the grace of God for change. And then let's get up and let's get busy about the Master's business. Would you bow your heads with me, please?